Orsure bowed his head.
"The contract, Orsure," Vin said, climbing to her knees. "You must obey my orders."
"My servant, Vin," Zane said. "My contract. My orders."
My servant. And suddenly it clicked. She'd suspected everyone. Doxon, Breeze, even Elland. But she'd never connected the spy to the one person that made the most sense. There had been a Chandra in the palace all along, and he had been at her side.
"I'm sorry, mistress," Orsure whispered.
"How long?" Vin asked, bowing her head.
"Since you gave my predecessor, the real Orsure, the dog's body," the Chandra said. "I killed him that day and took his place, wearing the body of a dog. You never saw him as a wolfhound."
What easier way to mask the transformation, Vin thought. "But the bones we discovered in the palace," she said. "You were with me on the wall when they appeared. They..." She'd taken his word on how fresh those bones had been. She'd taken his word on when they had been produced. She'd assumed all along that the switch must have happened that day when she was with Elland on the city wall. But she'd done so primarily because of what Orsure had said. "Idiot," she thought. Orsure, or Tensun, as Zane had called him, had led her to suspect everyone but himself. What was wrong with her? She was usually so good at sniffing out traitors, at noticing insincerity. How had she missed spotting her own Chandra? Zane walked forward. Vin waited on her knees. "Weak," she told herself. "Look weak. Make him leave you alone. Try to..."
"Soothing me will do no good," Zane said quietly, grabbing her by the front of her shirt, picking her up, throwing her back down.
Mist sprayed beneath her, puffing up in a splash as she slammed to the floor. Vin stifled her cry of pain.
"I have to stay quiet. If guards come, he'll kill them. If Elland comes..."
She had to stay quiet, quiet even as Zane kicked her in her wounded side. She grunted, eyes watering.
"You could have saved me," Zane said, peering down at her. "I was willing to go with you. Now what is left? Nothing. Nothing but Straff's orders."
He punctuated that sentence with a kick.
"Stay small," she told herself through the pain. "He'll leave you alone eventually."
But it had been years since she'd had to bow before anyone. Her days of cringing before Cayman and Reen were almost misty shadows, forgotten before the light offered by Elland and Kelsier. As Zane kicked again, Vin found herself growing angry. He brought his foot back, angling it toward her face, and Vin moved. As his foot arced down, she threw herself backward, pushing against the window latches to scoot herself through the mists. She flared pewter, throwing herself up to her feet, trailing mist from the floor. It was up past her knees now. She glared at Zane, who looked back with a dark expression. Vin ducked forward, but Zane moved faster. Moved first, stepping between her and the balcony. Not that getting to it would do her any good. With Atium, he could chase her down easily. It was like before, when he'd attacked her with Atium. Only this time it was worse. Before, she'd been able to believe, if just a little, that they were still sparring. Still not enemies, even if they weren't friends. She hadn't really believed that he wanted to kill her. She had no such illusions this time. Zane's eyes were dark, his expression flat, just like that night a few days before when slaughtering Set's men. Vin was going to die. She hadn't felt such fear in a long time. But now she saw it, felt it, smelled it on herself as she shied away from the approaching Zane. She felt what it was like to face a Mistborn, what it must have been like for those soldiers she'd killed. There was no fighting. There was no chance.
"No,"
she told herself forcefully, holding her side. "Elland didn't back down against Straff. He doesn't have allomancy, but he marched into the center of the Kolos camp. I can beat this." With a cry, Vin dashed toward Tensun. The dog backed away in shock. But he needn't have worried. Zane was there again. He slammed a shoulder into Vin, then whipped his dagger around and slashed a wound across her cheek as she fell backward. The cut was precise, perfect, matching the wound on her other cheek, one given to her during her first fight with a Mistborn only 2 years before. Vin gritted her teeth, burning iron as she fell. She pulled on a pouch on her desk, whipping the coins into her hand. She hit the ground on her side, other hand down, and threw herself back to her feet. She dumped a shower of coins from the pouch into her hand, then raised them at Zane. Blood dripped from her chin. She threw the coins out. Zane moved to push them away. She smiled, then burned Duralumin as she pushed. The coins snapped forward, and the wind of their sudden passing parted the mist on the ground, revealing the floor beneath. The room shook. And in an eye blink, Vin found herself slammed back against the wall. She gasped in surprise, breath knocked from her lungs, her vision swimming. She looked up, disoriented, surprised to find herself on the ground again. "Duralumin," Zane said, still standing with a hand up before him. "Ten Soon told me about it. We deduced you must have a new metal from the way you can sense me when my copper is on. After that, a little searching, and he found that note from your metallurgist, which handily had the instructions for making Duralumin." Her addled mind struggled to connect ideas. Zane had Duralumin. He'd used the metal, and had pushed against one of the coins she'd shot at him. He must have pushed behind himself as well to keep from being forced backward as his weight met hers. And her own Duralumin-enhanced push had slammed her against the wall. She had trouble thinking. Zane walked forward. She looked up, dazed, then scrambled away on hands and knees, crawling in the mists. It was at face level, and her nostrils tickled as she inhaled the cool, quiet chaos. Atium. She needed atium. But the bead was in Tensoon's shoulder. She couldn't pull it to herself. The reason he carried it there was that the flesh protected it from being affected by allomancers, just like the spikes piercing an Inquisitor's body. Just like her own earring. Metal inside, or even piercing, a person's body could not be pulled or pushed, except with the most extreme of allomantic forces. But she'd done it once, when fighting the Lord Ruler. It hadn't been her own power, or even Duralumin, that had let her accomplish it. It had been something else. The mists. She'd drawn upon them. Something hit her on her back, pushing her down. She rolled over, kicking upward, but her foot missed Zane's face by a few atium-aided inches. Zane slapped her foot aside, then reached down, slamming her against the floor by her shoulders. Mists churned around him as he looked down at her. Through her terror, she reached out for the mists, as she had over a year before when fighting the Lord Ruler. That day they had fueled her allomancy, giving her a strength that she shouldn't have had. She reached out for them, begging for their help. And nothing happened.
"Please."
Zane slammed her down again. The mists continued to ignore her pleas. She twisted, pulling against the window frame to get leverage, and pushed Zane to the side. They rolled, Vin coming around on top. Suddenly both of them lurched off the floor, bursting out of the mists and flying toward the ceiling, thrown upward as Zane pushed against the coins on the floor. They slammed against the ceiling, Zane's body pushing against hers, pinning her to the wooden planks. He was on top again, or rather he was on the bottom, but that was now the point of leverage. Vin gasped. He was so strong. Stronger than she. His fingers bit into the flesh of her arms despite her pewter, and her side ached from her earlier wounds. She was in no condition to fight, not against another Mistborn, especially one with atium. Zane continued to push them against the ceiling. Vin's hair fell toward him, and mists churned the floor below like a whirlpool vortex that was slowly rising. Zane released his push and they fell. Yet he was still in control. He spun her, throwing her down below him as they entered the mists again. They hit the ground, the blow knocking the wind from Vin's lungs yet again. Zane loomed above her, speaking through gritted teeth. "All that effort wasted," he hissed. "Hiding an allomancer and Set's hirelings so that you would suspect him of attacking you at the assembly, forcing you to fight in front of Elend so that he'd be intimidated by you, pushing you to explore your powers and kill so that you'd realize just how powerful you truly are. All wasted!" He leaned down. "You were supposed to save me!" he said, his face just inches from her, breathing heavily. He pinned one of her struggling arms to the floor with his knee, and then, in a strangely surreal moment, he kissed her. And at the same time he rammed his dagger into the side of one of her breasts. Vin tried to cry out, but his mouth held hers as the dagger cut her flesh.
"Be careful, master,"
Orsure Tensun suddenly yelled.
"She knows much about Khandra."
Zane looked up, his hand stilled. The voice, the pain, brought lucidity to Vin. She flared tin, using the pain to shock herself awake, clearing her mind.
"What?"
Zane asked, looking down toward the Khandra.
"She knows, master," Tensun said. "She knows our secret. The reason why we served the Lord Ruler. The reason why we served the contract. She knows why we fear Allomancers so much." "Be silent," Zane commanded, "and speak no more."
Tensun fell silent.
"Our secret," Vin thought, glancing over at the wolfhound, sensing the anxiety in his canine expression. "He's trying to tell me something. Trying to help me."
Secret. The secret of the Khandra. The last time she'd tried soothing him, he'd howled with pain. Yet she saw permission in his expression. It was enough. She slammed Tensun with a soothing. He cried out, howling, but she pushed harder. Nothing happened. Gritting her teeth, she burned her alamin. Something broke. She was in two places at once. She could feel Tensun standing by the wall, and she could feel her own body in Zane's grip. Tensun was hers, totally and completely. Somehow, not quite knowing how, she ordered him forward, controlling his body. The massive wolfhound's body slammed into Zane, throwing him off of Vin. The dagger flipped to the ground, and Vin stumbled to her knees, grabbing her chest, feeling warm blood there. Zane rolled, obviously shocked, but he came to his feet and kicked Tensun. Bones broke. The wolfhound tumbled across the floor, right toward Vin. She snatched the dagger off the ground as he rolled to her feet, then plunged it into his shoulder, cutting the shoulder, her fingers feeling in the muscle and sinew. She came up with bloodied hands and a single bead of atium. She swallowed it with a gulp, spinning toward Zane.
"Now let's see how you fare," she hissed, burning the atium.
Dozens of atium shadows burst from Zane, showing her possible actions he could take, all of them ambiguous. She would be giving off the same confusing mess to his eyes. They were even. Zane turned, looking into her eyes, and his atium shadows disappeared.
"Impossible," she thought.
Tensun groaned at her feet as she realized that her atium reserve was gone, burned away. But the bead had been so large.
"Did you think I'd give you the very weapon you needed to fight me?" Zane asked quietly. "Did you think I'd really give up atium?"
"But..."
"A lump of lead," Zane said, walking forward. "Plated with a thin layer of atium around it. Oh, Vin, you really need to be more careful whom you trust."
Vin stumbled backward, feeling her confidence wilt.
"Make him talk," she thought. "Try to get his atium to run out." "My brother said I shouldn't trust anyone," she mumbled. "He said anyone would betray me."
"He was a wise man," Zane said quietly, standing chest deep in mists.
"He was a paranoid fool," Vin said. "He kept me alive, but he left me broken."
"Then he did you a favor."
Vin glanced toward Tensun's mangled, bleeding form. He was in pain. She could see it in his eyes. In the distance, she could hear... thumping. She'd turned her bronze back on. She looked up slowly. Zane was walking toward her, confident.
"You've been playing with me," she said. "You drove a wedge between me and Elend. You made me think he feared me, made me think he was using me."
"He was," Zane said.
"Yes," Vin said. "But it doesn't matter. Not the way you made it seem. Elend uses me. Kelsier used me. We use each other. For love. For support. For trust.
trust will kill you, he said. Then it is better to die. I trusted you, he said, stopping before her. And you betrayed me. No, Vin said, raising her dagger. I'm going to save you. Just like you want. She snapped forward and struck, but her hope that he'd run out of Atium was in vain. He sidestepped indifferently. He let her dagger come within an inch of striking, but he was never really in danger. Vin spun to attack, but her blade cut only air, skimming along the top of the rising mists. Zane moved before her next attack came, dodging even before she knew what she was going to do. Her dagger stabbed the place where he had been standing. He's too fast, she thought, side burning, mind thumping. Or was that the Well of Ascension thumping? Zane stopped just in front of her. I can't hit him, she thought with frustration. Not when he knows where I'll strike before I do. Vin paused. Before I do. Zane stepped away to a place near the center of the room, then kicked her fallen dagger into the air and caught it. He turned back toward her, mist trailing from the weapon in his hand, jaw set and eyes dark. He knows where I'll strike before I do. Vin raised her dagger, blood trickling down face and side, thunderous drumbeats booming in her mind. The mist was nearly up to her chin. She cleared her mind. She didn't plan an attack. She didn't react to Zane as he ran toward her, dagger raised. She loosened her muscles and closed her eyes, listening to his footsteps. She felt the mist rise around her, churned by Zane's advent. She snapped her eyes open. He had the dagger raised. It glittered as it swung. Vin prepared to attack, but didn't think about the strike. She simply let her body react. And she watched Zane very, very carefully. He flinched just slightly to the left, open hand moving upward as if to grab something. There, Vin thought, immediately wrenching herself to the side, forcing her instinctive attack out of its natural trajectory. She twisted her arm and dagger mid-swing. She had been about to attack left, as Zane's Atium had anticipated. But by reacting, Zane had shown her what she was going to do, let her see the future. And if she could see it, she could change it. They met. Zane's weapon took her in the shoulder, but Vin's knife took him in the neck. His left hand closed on empty air, snatching at a shadow that should have told him where her arm would be. Zane tried to gasp, but her knife had pierced his windpipe. Air sucked through blood around the blade, and Zane stumbled back, eyes wide with shock. He met her eyes, then collapsed into the mists, his body thumping against the wooden floor. Zane looked up through the mists, looked up at her. I'm dying, he thought. Her Atium shadow had split at the last moment. Two shadows. Two possibilities. He'd counteracted the wrong one. She'd tricked him, defeated him somehow. And now he was dying. Finally.
You know why I thought you'd save me, he tried to whisper to her, though he somehow knew that his lips weren't properly forming the words. The voice. You were the first person I ever met that it didn't tell me to kill. The only person.
Of course I didn't tell you to kill her, God said.
Zane felt his life seeping away.
You know the really funny thing, Zane? God asked. The most amusing part of this all? You're not insane. You never were.
Vin watched quietly as Zane sputtered, blood coming from his lips. She watched cautiously. A knife to the throat should have been enough to kill even a Mistborn, but sometimes pewter could let one do awesome things. Zane died. She checked his pulse, then retrieved her dagger. After that she stood for a moment, feeling numb in both mind and body. She raised a hand to her wounded shoulder, and in doing so she brushed her wounded breast. She was bleeding too much, and her mind was growing fuzzy again.
I killed him.
She flared pewter, forcing herself to keep moving. She stumbled over to Tensun, kneeling beside him.
Mistress, he said, I'm sorry.
I know,
she said, staring at the terrible wound she'd made. His legs no longer worked, and his body lay in an unnatural twist.
How can I help?
Help? Tensun said. Mistress, I nearly got you killed.
I know, she said again. How can I make the pain go away? Do you need another body?
Tensun was quiet for a moment.
Yes.
Take Zane's, Vin said. For the moment, at least.
He is dead?
Tensun asked with surprise.
He couldn't see, she realized. His neck is broken.
Yes, she whispered.
How, mistress? Tensun asked. He ran out of atium?
No, Vin said.
Then how?
Atium has a weakness, she said. It lets you see the future.
That doesn't sound like a weakness, mistress.
Vin sighed, wobbling slightly.
Focus, she thought. When you burn atium, you see a few moments into the future, and you can change what will happen in that future. You can grab an arrow that should have kept flying. You can dodge a blow that should have killed you. And you can move to block an attack before it even happens.
Tensun was quiet, obviously confused.
He showed me what I was going to do, Vin said. I couldn't change the future, but Zane could. By reacting to my attack before I even knew what I was going to do, he inadvertently showed me the future. I reacted against him, and he tried to block a blow that never came. That let me kill him.
Mistress, Tensun whispered, that is brilliant.
I'm sure I'm not the first to think of it, Vin said wearily, but it isn't the sort of secret that you share. Anyway, take his body.
I would rather not wear the bones of that creature, Tensun said. You don't know how broken he was, mistress.
Vin nodded tiredly.
I could just find you another dog body if you want.
That won't be necessary, mistress, Tensun said quietly. I still have the bones of the other wolfhound you gave me, and most of them are still good. If I replace a few of them with the good bones from this body, I should be able to form a complete skeleton to use.
Do it, then. We're going to need to plan what to do next.
Tensun was quiet for a moment. Finally, he spoke.
Mistress, my contract is void, now that my master is dead. I need to return to my people for reassignment.
Ah, Vin said, feeling a wrench of sadness. Of course.
I do not want to go, Tensun said, but I must at least report to my people. Please forgive me.
There is nothing to forgive, Vin said. And thank you for that timely hint at the end.
Tensun lay quietly. She could see guilt in his canine eyes.
He shouldn't have helped me against his current master.
Mistress, Tensun said, you know our secret now. Mistborn can control Akandra's body with allomancy. I don't know what you will do with it, but realize that I have entrusted you with a secret that my people have kept sacred for 1,000 years. The way allomancers could take control of our bodies and make slaves of us.
I don't even understand what happened.
Perhaps it is better that way, Tensun said. Please leave me. I have the other dog's bones in the closet. When you return, I will be gone.
Vin rose, nodding. She left then, pushing through the mists and seeking the hallway outside. Her wounds needed tending. She knew that she should go to Sazed, but somehow she couldn't force herself in that direction. She walked faster, feet taking her down the hallway until she was running. Everything was collapsing around her. She couldn't manage it all, couldn't keep things straight. But she did know what she wanted. And so she ran to him.
He is a good man, despite it all. He is a good man. A sacrificing man. In truth, all of his actions, all of the deaths, destructions, and pains that he has caused, have hurt him deeply. All of these things were, in truth, a kind of sacrifice for him.
48. Elland yawned, looking over the letter he'd penned to Jastis. Perhaps he could persuade his former friend to see reason. If he couldn't, well, a duplicate of the wooden coin Jastis had been using to pay the Koloss sat on Ellen's desk. It was a perfect copy, whittled by Clubs himself. Elland was pretty certain that he had access to more wood than Jastis did. If he could help Penrod stall for a few more weeks, they might be able to make enough money to bribe the Koloss away. He set down his pen, rubbing his eyes. It was late. Time to... His door slammed open. Elland spun and caught sight of a flustered Vin dashing across the room and into his arms. She was crying. And she was bloody.
Vin, he said, what happened?
I killed him, she said, head buried in Ellen's chest.
Who?
Your brother, she said. Zane. Straff's Mistborn. I killed him.
Wait, what? My brother?
Vin nodded.
I'm sorry.
Forget about that, Vin,
Ellen said, gently prying her back and pushing her into his chair. She had a gash on her cheek, and her shirt was slick with blood.
Lord Ruler, I'm going to get Sazed right now.
Don't leave me,
she said, holding his arm. Ellen paused. Something had changed. She seemed to need him again.
Come with me, then. We'll both go see him.
Vin nodded, standing. She teetered just a bit, and Ellen felt a spike of fear. But the determined look in her eyes wasn't something he wanted to challenge. He put his arm around her, letting her lean on him as they walked to Sazed's quarters. Ellen paused to knock, but Vin simply pushed her way into the dark room, then wobbled and sat down on the floor just inside.
I'll sit here, she said.
Ellen paused worriedly by her side, then raised his lamp and called toward the bedchamber.
Sazed!
The terraceman appeared a moment later, looking exhausted and wearing a white sleeping robe. He noticed Vin, blinked a few times, then disappeared into his chambers. He returned a moment later with a metal mind bracer strapped to his forearm and a bag of medical equipment.
Now, Lady Vin, Sazed said, setting the bag down. What would Master Kelsier think, seeing you in this condition? You ruin more clothing in this manner, I think.
This isn't a time for levity, Sazed, Elland said.
I apologize, Your Majesty, Sazed said,
carefully cutting the clothing away from Vin's shoulder.
However, if she is still conscious, then she isn't in serious danger.
He peered closer at the wound, absently lifting clean cloths from his bag.
You see? Sazed asked. The gash is deep, but the blade was deflected by the bone, and missed hitting any major vessels. Hold this here.
He pressed a cloth to the wound, and Ellen put his hand on it. Vin sat with her eyes closed, resting back against the wall, blood dripping slowly from her chin. She seemed more exhausted than in pain. Sazed took his knife and cut away the front of Vin's shirt, exposing her wounded chest. Ellen paused.
Perhaps I should...
Stay, Vin said.
It wasn't a plea, but a command. She raised her head, opening her eyes as Sazed tisked quietly at the wound, then got out a numbing agent and some needle and thread.
"Helland," she said, "I need to tell you something."
He paused. "All right."
"I've realized something about Kelsier," she said quietly. "I always focus on the wrong things when it comes to him. It's hard to forget the hours he spent training me to be an Allomancer. Yet it wasn't his ability to fight that made him great. It wasn't his harshness or his brutality, or even his strength or his instincts."
Ellen frowned.
"Do you know what it was?" she asked.
He shook his head, still pressing the cloth against her shoulder.
"It was his ability to trust," she said. "It was the way that he made good people into better people, the way that he inspired them. His crew worked because he had confidence in them, because he respected them. And in return, they respected each other. Men like Breeze and Clubs became heroes because Kelsier had faith in them."
She looked up at him, blinking tired eyes.
"And you are far better at that than Kelsier ever was, Elland. He had to work at it. You do it instinctively, treating even weasels like Phylon as if they were good and honorable men. It's not naivete, as some think. It's what Kelsier had, only greater. He could have learned from you."
"You give me too much credit," he said. She shook a tired head. Then she turned to Sazed.
"Sazed?" she asked. "Yes, child. Do you know any wedding ceremonies?"
Elland nearly dropped the cloth in shock.
"I know several," Sazed said as he tended the wound. "Some 200, actually." "Which one is the shortest?" Vin asked.
Sazed pulled a stitch tight.
"The people of Larsta only required a profession of love before a local priest. Simplicity was a tenet of their belief structure, a reaction, perhaps, to the traditions of the land they were banished from, which was known for its complex system of bureaucratic rules. It is a good religion, one that focused on simple beauty found in nature."
Vin looked at Elland. Her face was bloody, her hair a mess.
"Now see," he said, "Vin, don't you think that maybe this should wait until, you know..."
"Elland," she interrupted, "I love you."
He froze.
"Do you love me?" she asked.
"This is insane."
"Yes," he said quietly.
Vin turned to Sazed, who was still working.
"Well?"
Sazed looked up, fingers bloodied.
"This is a very strange time for such an event, I think."
Elland nodded in agreement.
"It's just a little bit of blood," Vin said tiredly. "I'm really all right, now that I've sat down."
"Yes," Sazed said. "But you seem somewhat distraught, Lady Vin. This isn't a decision to be made lightly, under the influence of strong emotions."
Vin smiled.
"The decision to get married shouldn't be made because of strong emotions?"
Sazed floundered.
"That isn't exactly what I meant. I'm simply not certain that you are fully in control of your faculties, Lady Vin."